Yes, good morning. It's good to be with you here this morning, serving the Lord together. A week or so ago, Mary and I had the opportunity to go along with a senior class from Shaferstown to Grenada on their senior trip. And we flew Tuesday, arrived Tuesday afternoon, and first thing Wednesday morning, we loaded up in the buses and headed to Granny Tang to hike the trail to Mount Quaqua. So if you can picture 21 students, the number of chaperones, we got there and trail started out nice and wide, probably about as wide as the trail, as the aisleway here. And for the first while, I got the impression, yeah, this is going to be an easy hike. Of course, most of the class, we seen them for a couple seconds and then they disappeared. Everyone wanted to be the first to the top, took off running, or at least at a fast clip. And later, as we continued on, the trail got steep and there were, places where it was that steep that someone before us actually took a toll and they cut steps into the ground so you can get up. And some places the trail got extremely narrow. There were many places where you're walking along and you look to the right and it just goes straight down. And oftentimes you couldn't even see the bottom. So you were kind of following a mountain ridge up to the trail, up to our destination we were headed to. And we had not gone very far when the trees opened up a little bit to the right and someone said, well, that's where we're headed, way up there. And across that way, it didn't look very far, but the trail that we took, it was quite a distance. So after climbing a very steep part with steps notched into the dirt, I thought, oh, we're getting close to the top. Then I was told, well, we got about four or five more of those to go. So my point is the trail was quite long. And there were at least two places where the trail got extremely narrow. And when I say extremely narrow, I'm talking probably about like this, which isn't a big problem, except it dropped off almost straight off on both sides. So if you were used to walking 2x2, you got to this point, well, you're not going to do that. Later we heard one of the students actually slipped off here and needed help to get back on the trail. However, there were spots in the trail that if you stopped and took the time to turn around, off to one side, you could see the ocean, you could see the cruise ship terminal, and off the other side, you could see the top of Granny Tang Lake. Beautiful scenes as you continued up the trail. Also, along the trails you were walking, there was razor grass, basically large grass along the side of the trail with that if you brushed along your arm along this grass, it would cut very, very sharp grass. And a couple times, very large rocks that you either had to step over or around. And then finally, after, according to what I did some research on, 2.7 miles, which, yes, I admit, felt like six or seven, we reached the top. And the view from the top was worth it all. The view from the top was worth it all. You can see the beauty of God's creation for miles. If you do take the time to go online and just look up this this trail, Mount Quaqua Trail, a lot of reviews say very, 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 very muddy. I mean, review after review. This time, we were down kind of like it was dry season. We did get a little bit of rain, but the trail, a couple times, you had to step around some mud, but for the most part, it was not that muddy. So from the top, we took a number of pictures. Maybe some of you have seen these pictures, but if you want to get the best view, what you really need to do is go and see it for yourself. And on a side note, if you need directions, I can help you out. I can tell you how to get there. But compare that short 2.7-mile hike with your spiritual journey through life. So I mentioned some steep spots. I mentioned some narrow spots. I mentioned some distractions along the way. I mentioned some obstacles you have to go over. Just think about that as you're journeying through life. There will be times when you will need to hang on to a brother or sister as we navigate the trails. There will be times you need to step carefully to avoid a pitfall in life. We are going to encounter things in our spiritual life that are going to distract us, try to take us off and keep us from pressing on. But when we reach the top, heaven will surely be worth it all. Question, how committed are you in your walk with the Lord? I'm not going to pick on the individual that slipped, but was it careless walking? I was not there. And I just bring that back to the question, how committed are you in your walk with the Lord? Are you carefully avoiding the dangers along the way? Again, the student that slipped off had some marks on his arms to show that he had slipped and he had harmed himself. And when we walk carefully with the Lord, I believe we can avoid that harm. What we need to remember this morning is that we need to walk with the Lord on this side of eternity if we want to walk with Him throughout eternity. So how committed are you in your walk with the Lord? A few months ago, I started preaching through the book of Colossians, and I have not gotten very far. The verse I want to zero in on this morning is Colossians 2. And we're going to cover a few verses here in Colossians 2. But verse 6, as we think of our walk with the Lord, verse 6 reads like this. As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in Him. When we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, it's not a once, okay, I did that on July 3rd, a certain year, and away we go. No, it's a daily walk with the Lord. So this morning, we're going to go through the first couple verses there in verse chapter 2, and the title is Walk in the Lord. But I'd like just to do a brief background on chapter 1. I am well aware that Matt had preached through Colossians. Are you finished? Okay, just recently, so I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time in Colossians 1, but he is writing to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, as we see in chapter 1, verse 2. He's writing his letter to the church, to the believers there at Colossae, and his prayer for the church was, verse 10, that they might walk worthy of the Lord. So we're thinking, or I hope we are, thinking about our walk with the Lord, our walk, our spiritual journey with Christ. Can this be said about you? Does this describe you, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God? We're all aware we can't become complacent. Okay, I had reached this spot in my life. I'm good. I'm going to coast the rest of the way out. Yeah, sometimes when you travel, you can coast. In your spiritual journey through life, it does not work that way. Are we increasing in our knowledge of God? Look at the blessings in verse 12 and 13. The believers, you and I, have been given an inheritance with the saints. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. We have been translated into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. A few more verses ahead, verses 15 through 19, look at who Jesus is, and we could spend a lot of time here, but we're not going to. He is the image of God. He's the firstborn of every creature. He is the creator of all things. He was before everything in creation. By Him all things consist. Let me pause there for a moment. We think of the galaxy, the stars, the sun, the moon, the weather. By Him all things consist. Do things just happen by default? No. He's in control of all things. When you have the spare time, do a study of the stars and you'll realize how beautiful it is up there. But who's controlling that? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. By Him, all things consist. Moving on, He's the head of the church. In Him, all the fullness of God dwells. Look at what Jesus did for us in verse 20 to 22. Provided peace for us through His shed blood. Reconciled us. Does it stop there? No, it gets better. He's able to present us to God. How? In an unblameable and unreprovable state. Now this gets exciting. Jesus Christ, yes, He died for us on the cross, but now because He shed His blood, He can take a sinner and cleanse them and say and present them to God free from sin. But what's the requirement? Verse 23, if, don't you love that word? If we remain grounded and settled in the faith. So think back. We're born with a sinful nature. We've fallen short of God's grace. But when we have been cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ, He can take us. He is able to take us to our Heavenly Father in a pure state. And it's, again, I repeat, such a beautiful picture. Remove all our sin and we can be blameless. Look at the mystery that's revealed in verse 27. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. Again, blessed truth for believers. Christ dwells within, and we're looking forward to that meeting with Him in glory. So it comes back to what we want to focus in on this morning. We need to walk with the Lord on this side of eternity if we want to walk with Him throughout eternity. It starts here today. And then we see Paul's goal in verse 28, that we may present every man. And look at the word he uses. He uses the word perfect. That's his goal, that he could present you and I perfect in Jesus Christ, prepared and ready to meet the Lord. The theme that I'm using for Colossians is complete in Christ. And it's because Jesus Christ is the only place where we can be complete in our spiritual lives. Why? Because of the price he has paid for you and I. So beginning here in chapter 2, Paul reaffirms his love for the church and reminds them that Jesus Christ is sufficient to meet all their needs, and so they can be all that God wants them to be. So a key point in the study to be complete in Christ is you need to be in Christ, because Christ is sufficient to make you everything God wants you to be. And there's no other place that we can look that we can find that we can be complete, especially as we're talking here this morning, complete in Christ. Let's read verses 1 through 6 in chapter 2 of Colossians. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, unto all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. And here we see the first point I'd like to look at is wisdom and knowledge for the believers. Paul addresses his concern for the people at Colossae, which is written to the Colossian church, as well as those who are in Laodicea. And these two cities were about 10 miles apart, located in what is today considered Western Turkey. But he wanted them to know that he labored for them in prayer. And we think of, he used the terminology, what great conflict I have for you. Prayer often involves a struggle, especially intercessory prayer on behalf of others. Prayer could be described as war. Never thought about it that way, but prayer could be described as war. It takes the very best of a person has to offer and ask them to fight with diligence. When we think of spending time in prayer for someone, Romans 10:30, the end of the verse that Paul is saying, it says that you would strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Striving. Do we consider our prayers as that way? When you're praying for someone, are you thinking about the great conflict you're in? Are you thinking about, are you striving? Are you thinking about a war? And sometimes I have to admit we are not. But you think about Paul here. He says that he's not with these people, those who have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul was in prison many miles away in Rome. And most likely, according to studies, chained to a prison guard. So consider his situation for a second. But instead of praying and asking God, release me from my bonds, he's saying, no, I have a great conflict for these people way over here in Colossae. Help them. Be with them. And he had a great concern because of the dangerous doctrine that was being taught in the early church. I'm sure Matt pointed it out. The letter to the Colossians was to combat false teachings. There were false teachings going around. And now Paul here is trying to help from a distance. I do believe he would have preferred to be with the people here and combat the false teachers personally. But being in chain, he could not go, so he needed to leave it to God, and he did, through the avenue of prayer. A little bit on prayer. Sometimes we cannot talk to people about God. Some people are close to the gospel. But nothing can prevent us from talking to God about them. So church, I'm giving you a challenge this morning. Just think a little bit about someone that you know that is not open to the gospel. And hopefully not a whole wave of names come rushing to your mind, but think about someone who is not open to the gospel. And then tonight and throughout the next month, just pray for that person. And ask God to work in their hearts and to bring them to Jesus Christ. And maybe right now you're thinking about someone who has walked away from God. Maybe you're thinking about someone who has hardened their heart. For brothers and sisters, the last thing that we can do is to give up. We need to continue praying on their behalf. Along the line of, not to get on the bunny trail, but many people in the world think that America is the place to be. I'm sure you know people who think that. Like, well, if I can get to America, we'll be in good shape. And I'm not saying that we're living in a bad country, but my point is that America needs revival. Is it a great? Do I like living here? Sure, but we need revival. Brothers and sisters, this country needs the Lord, and we need to be fervent in prayer. Can this be said about you? I would that you know what great conflict I have for our country. We're walking away from the Lord. Some are. We're blessed to have the solid church, but we need to be in fervent prayer. So the purpose of his prayer in verse 2 is that the believers would be comforted and encouraged. So I just mentioned he's writing about a concern, but he also wants to encourage them in their spiritual walk. And I'm sure we're all aware how it makes you feel when someone comes alongside you and says, brother or sister, I'm praying for you. That's exactly what Paul did. You know, they're over there, they're far away from where Paul was, struggling or working through this false doctrine. And Paul says, I'm praying for you. Comfort and encourage you. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. Then he says that their hearts will be knit together. Can we see this happening? Just a joined together with strong ties of love. And what do we see? Here we see a key ingredient for a strong church. If there's division, we know what happens, but hearts knit together. Again, a beautiful picture that the hearts might be knit together in love. Prayer is a needed ingredient along with joy and unity. And we often look at the Lord's Prayer for a model prayer, which is great. But here I think we have another model prayer in verse 2. Just think about this as you're praying for your church later on this week, that our hearts will be knit together, will be comforted and knit together in love. It doesn't stop there, but he says, unto all the riches and full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, that they would have a deeper understanding and knowledge of God. What happens is, the more we know about Christ, the more we will know about our Father God. And what is more important than exactly that? There have been many times, and there will continue to be times, when I ask God for a deeper knowledge and understanding of His Word. And I'll admit, every time I go to, before I preach, I just sit down and I get on my knees and I pray, God, I open my understanding. Why? Because it's such a great responsibility and privilege to preach, but at the same time, you want to preach absolute truth. Lord, help me to understand. Show me truth. Show me the meaning and fill me with your wisdom and knowledge. And here we see Paul doing the exact same thing for the church. You know, again, picture him in prison, chained to a guard, and he's saying, Lord, open their understanding. Give them knowledge. Fill them with your spirit. Knowledge and understanding the truth are what they needed and the same thing that we need today. Am I saying that the streets are filled with false teachers? No, it usually doesn't work that way. But I think that we need wisdom and discernment when we hear something that is not sound doctrine. Now we can say, wait a minute, that's not sound, that's not the truth. We need to be on our toes as well. So where is wisdom and knowledge found? Look at verse 3. In whom, speaking of the Lord, of Father God and Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So genuine wisdom is found in a person, not in some facts written on a piece of paper. It's found in a person, and it's in the person of Jesus Christ. The word hid does not mean that knowledge is unknown to man. Rather, it is laid up, stored away, or reserved and made available to those who have relationship with Jesus Christ, who is the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Everything finds meaning through Jesus Christ, because he is the source of all truth. It makes you stop and think, wait a minute, he said everything. But think about it. Try to think of something that doesn't find meaning in truth. Apart from Christ, there's nothing there. Everything finds meaning in truth through Jesus Christ. Everything anyone wants to know about God and the processes in the world are answered in the person of Jesus Christ. What did I say earlier? By him all things consist. He created this universe. He's in control of it all. And you also have to just come down to grips with the fact that everything else that we hear, apart from the truth of God's word, is false. For wisdom and knowledge are, in all things, are found in Christ, for he is supreme. And today, people are looking for, and I couldn't find a better word than to say things, that to fill the void in their life. And many today are turning to drugs and alcohol, ungodly living, and wickedness. But church, I trust we know that Jesus Christ is the answer for our world. He is the only one who can give us that living water that every thirsty soul needs. So that our thirst will be quenched, and we're not going to need to look anywhere else for peace and fulfillment. For we're able to satisfy our heart in Christ. And it comes back to the fact, church, we are complete in Christ. If there's missing pieces to the puzzle in your life, don't go looking elsewhere for it other than to the Lord Jesus Christ. So are we looking for wisdom, a godly wisdom? Is that something that we desire? James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, you know the verse, let him ask where? Walmart? No, let him ask of God. And what's going to happen? What's the outcome? That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And then verse 6 starts out by saying, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You probably heard it before. The blessings of God are there, but we have the requirements that we need to hold as well. He said, I'll give you wisdom when you ask, but ask in faith. You know, we need to do our part. God provided a way for us. We need to do our part. And he will be there for us. If you feel so led and you're thinking about more wisdom and knowledge, understanding, go to Proverbs 1:33 and on Proverbs 2, just read through that. It's so beautiful. I'm not going to take the time, but wisdom, right there we have it. But our desire for knowledge and wisdom will draw us closer and closer to the Lord, because he is the source of both knowledge and wisdom. We need to walk with the Lord on this side of eternity if we want to walk with him throughout eternity. Second point is the steadfastness of your faith. It's taken from verse 5. So it appears that Paul, verses 1, 2, and 3, was kind of on a roll. Then maybe he paused at the end of verse 3 and remembered his purpose for writing. And we see that in verse 4. And I'm writing this. This I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. I'm telling you this because of the smooth talkers who are trying to deceive you. These false teachers were using enticing words, and similar to the tactics of a high pressure salesman, just kind of twisting truth to make a sale. Here, kind of twisting truth or adding in some things that don't belong there to gain a follower. And I was studying this, and it's amazing how much Paul knew about these false teachers, since, as we see, he was not even there with them. But he knew they were saying things that sounded right and sounded to be true, but they had mixed air in with the truth. And here we see a bad combination, like it's just a small drop of oil in a cup of water. You know, this water's great, but if someone put a small drop of oil in there, I would avoid it. And you know, you have, if we can use that as an illustration, a cup full of truth, but you put a little bit of air in with it, and the whole cup is contaminated. And it's the same way with false teachers. False teachers often promote teachings that cater to pride, to draw a crowd to themselves. And when they do that, they completely ignore the seriousness of sin and eternal judgment. We're talking about living with Christ throughout eternity, not talking about eternal judgment, but there's two places where we will go. Are we walking in Christ? And did you ever stop and ask the question, maybe it's just me, but did you ever wonder why man, in general, is so bent on mixing false doctrine with absolute truth? So much of false doctrine that you hear probably could be up to 85% true. They take what the Word of God to try to get your attention, then they mix in a little bit of false teaching. Why is it so difficult for some to simply believe God's Word without attempting to add or subtract from it? I guess that's just the society we live in, but that's why I think we need to be filled with the knowledge of God so we can discern this and don't fall for their traps. Revelation 22 announces punishment for anyone who adds or takes away from the truth written in God's Word. So I ask, are we aware of the false teachers in our day today? And are we standing strong? Verse 5, for though I be absent in the flesh, we talked about that before, yet I am with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order. So Paul was not with them, but he must have received a detailed report that the church was standing strong in the midst of these false doctrine, false teaching. But he complimented them on their order. They were an organized church operating a good system with healthy doctrine and discipline. The church was not running in some careless way. And then end of verse 5, he said, So I see your order, but also the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So again, writing again to warn against false teaching, but took the time to tell the church, you know what? I'm impressed with your faith. Steadfastness means a firm foundation or stiffly adhering to the faith of Jesus Christ. And I believe it's a notable compliment. Your steadfastness and your steadfast faith is amazing. Just kind of picture the setting they were in and what Paul is telling them. The believers were standing strong against the charges of the enemy. They were sound in doctrine. They were strict in discipline. And Paul was happy to see this. Christians who make Christ the sole focus and center of their faith will be able to reject false teachers and remain steadfast. And there again, I repeat, we come back to our responsibility and God will take care of His. But if you and I have Christ as our sole focus, as the center of our faith, I don't think, it's obvious, it's without a doubt, we're going to face false teaching. There are things going to come to us that we're going to have to stand back and say, you're saying that, the Bible says this, that we have to be able to discern. Or you like that tree planted by the rivers of water, or you like that branch just blowing around in the wind. But we have been given what it takes, I'm confident, to reject false teaching. But we need to do our part. That is spending time and immerse yourself in God's Word. The faithful Christian will have the smile of the Creator upon their lives. So this morning, as Christ looks down here this morning, is He smiling upon your life? Because you are steadfast and walking with Christ. Maybe some elementary questions, but two of those. Why are you here this morning? Why are you a Christian? Is it not because of the hope or the anticipation of receiving your crown in glory, the expectation of someday meeting Jesus Christ face to face? Is that not why we're here? Why are our lives so different than some? Because of who we're walking with. Are you walking in Jesus Christ? Well, then you will not do X, Y, Z, but you will follow Him. 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Yeah, we're hoping in Christ today. We're living in Christ today. Christ living within us today. But we're here today, speaking for the church, if I may, we're here today because within we know that someday soon we're going to meet Christ in glory. That's why we are here. That's why we conduct our lives in the way that we do. We're blessed to have the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within our hearts, providing guidance and direction. But we know a better day is coming. So we're here this morning to learn more and more about Jesus Christ and to stay close to His side. So in light of eternity, is there anything of more important that's more important than our solid, steadfast faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Above all else, what is more important? If you would go out in the parking lot when you leave and reach underneath and pull your drain plug and wait 3 minutes and go home, you would not make it very far. Because of utmost importance in your engine is your oil, along with gas and everything else. So we would go out and we'd take Christ, if we would take Christ out of our lives, we would not get very far. Not in our spiritual journey, obviously not. We would fall short. What's more important? And I think we're on the same page. There is nothing. Can that be said about your spiritual journey? As they see you, they'd say, put your name in there. Boy, they are steadfast in their faith in Jesus Christ. That's a compliment. We need to walk with the Lord on this side of eternity if we want to walk with him throughout eternity. Verse 6, point number 3, walk in the Lord. As ye therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. This verse is divided into two parts based upon faith, as we see that ye therefore have received, and practice, so walk ye in him. People come to the faith with empty hands and nothing to offer. But at the foot of the cross, we receive the gift of Jesus Christ. So now Christ is within. And what does that do? That motivates us in our daily choices and direction. So I ask the question, are you walking in the Lord? Can your family, friends, neighbors, people at work see that you are different because you have been with Jesus? Yes, we have goals in life. We have places that we need to be. We have projects that we would like to complete. We have occupations we need to maintain. We have families that we're raising. And the list could go on to fit your where you're at in life. But through it all, are we walking with Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Are you walking in Christ? If you're a believer this morning, you have received Christ. And Paul's saying, that's great. Now walk in Christ. Can people see that you have been with Jesus? This verse 6 could be reworded to say, therefore, just as you accepted the teaching that presents Jesus Christ as both the Messiah and the Lord, so continue to maintain this relationship with him. So most likely you're thinking back to the day that you received the Lord. What a joyous day. Are you continuing in Jesus Christ day after day? The only way that we know we have received pardon and forgiveness is because that we believe the message of God's word concerning Jesus Christ and his work for us. To receive him is to bow before him as our sovereign ruler. Do we place him on the highest place in our lives? When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, he becomes our master. So we're no longer going to be following the old master, the father of lies. But we'll follow our new master, Jesus Christ, and walk in him. To walk in him is to place him in the highest place of our lives. Our walk in him must be our top priority and our primary focus. Back up a little bit. Yes, we have goals and so on and so forth we need to do in life. But come back to the fact is, do we place Jesus Christ and our walk with him as a very high priority? Our walk, as described in the New Testament, describes our manner of life. Do you like to be called different and peculiar, as the Bible calls us? And probably not, but if you really think about it, it's a good thing, because you're supposed to be different. Either you're different or you're fitting in with mainstream society, which is a dangerous place to be. To walk is to advance by steps, and Paul used this term like 32 times in his writings, and it refers to our visible conduct. Yeah, you don't know how much, if or how much time I spent this morning reading my Bible, and I don't know if you did either, but your visible conduct, people can see that. Are you walking in Christ? You don't have to talk to a stranger very long to discover if they are following Christ. I'm a salesman, so I meet people, and I enjoy that. And wow, sometimes you need earplugs, and sometimes it's just a great time. But you don't have to talk to someone very long. Why? Because Jesus said in Matthew 12, our words will reveal what's in our heart. I don't think there's a man here this morning that can object to that. What's in here is going to come out of here. I'm not opposed to hobbies. I think that's good, time to relax and all. You can talk about that. But are we spending time in the Lord? Recently talking to a man who built a new house, and he told his builder and his excavator, listen, a dry basement is of utmost importance in this house. I want a dry basement. And he was tired of having water in his basement in his previous home, wanted to make sure that everything possible was done so that his new home would have a dry basement. And there were a few plumbing issues that got water in his basement twice, and he was unimpressed. But think about what's most important to you. Is walking with Christ important to you? Is walking with Christ on the top of a list of important facts in your life? The Living Bible paraphrased this verse, as now, just as you trusted in Christ to save you, trust him for each day's problems. If Christ is strong enough and powerful enough to save us in eternity, surely he can help us with each day's problems. We're thinking about trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. To trust is to love. To trust is to obey, to follow, to imitate, and of course, to walk in. Are we putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ? So our journey through life might take us through some tough paths. And at times it's going to cause us to slow down as we carefully place one foot ahead of the other. We will be faced with temptations. There will be crossroads, and there might be pitfalls. There will be slippery spots. There will be narrow passages. There will be steep rocky mountains we need to go through, and a host of other distractions that are going to attempt to take you and I off the straight and narrow. But the reward of walking with Christ will be worth it all when we get to the top and meet Jesus Christ face to face. Above all else. Yeah, our journey is going to be strong. We might struggle here or there, like we did on the trail. Some might slip, need to be pulled back on the trail. And then we reach the top. And it's like, wow. And I'm confident. I haven't been to that top yet. The other top I talked about, I've been there. But church, we need to walk with Christ on this side of eternity if we want to walk with him throughout eternity. Walk daily with your Savior. Let's pause for prayer. Father God, we come before you this morning to say thank you, God, for the blessings that you have provided for those who follow, love, and obey you. I pray for each soul here this morning that we could be walking in Christ, not just on the Sabbath, on the Lord's Day, but each and every day of our lives, that we could just be all that you have called us and want us to be. Lord, if we have been prone to distractions and made wrong turns at crossroads, I pray you will forgive us for that. Lord, may we be pulled back on the straight and narrow by a brother or sister and just be encouraged in a faithful walk with you. I pray for each one here this morning, you give them wisdom and direction, and may we press on faithfully so that we can meet you and each one there in eternity. Thank you, Jesus, we pray. In your name, amen.